Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Hello and happy new year, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today I have brought on yet another co-host for you guys. I'm really excited to bring this woman on because we've been in a couple of online virtual coaching communities and just business growth communities. I'll just call it that way in general. And recently, back in June, we actually got to meet physically in person at a event called Thrive, Make Money Matter. For those of you who have listened to the show regularly, there's been a few other Thrive co-hosts coming on the show. So I'm excited to catch up with her because I'm a bit of a closet organization-obsessed nutball. And this is something that she's actually an expert in. I mean, she's literally a professional organizer and simplicity expert. So, part of her tagline is that she helps people gain control of their time, stuff, space, etc. I mean, there's literally, I didn't even know there's certifications that she's actually a certified professional organizer. So she's a CPO, P as in Peter. So I think that's kind of creative and really cool from whoever decided to create that certification. I'm sure she's going to catch us up on this. But again, as an owner of More Than Organized, I'm excited to bring her on the show. Welcome to the show, Miriam Ortiz E. Pino.
Hello, glad to be here.
And excited to have you. Great to catch up. We were just kind of chatting briefly before we started the episode, but you've been traveling a lot, ringing in the new year. And as the organization and simplicity expert, now you have to kind of catch up on your own stuff.
I do. And usually there's a better plan about it. I ran into weather delays, and so it messed up my own schedule. But that's a good reminder for everybody that things happen and you just got to go with the flow sometimes.
I think that's a great message to start off with. People don't realize that we get so obsessed sometimes with our organization and our structure that a lot of us get maybe overly planned and don't allow enough flexibility. I don't know. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I definitely see it going both ways. A lot of people that work for themselves, especially, have a bit of a creative bent. So there's the contingent that resists structure of any form and still thinks they can pull it off till they realize they can't. And then there's the people that get into it and are very, very organized and possibly overdo it because all of a sudden they're in charge of their own time. And so they can explore and geek out on every calendar program and goal setting program and various task managers. So it can go both ways. But yeah, I like to think that we are in charge of our own time and we need to figure out where our level of complication is for that, because you can keep it really simple or get very, very complicated. And it's just a matter of being consistent in whichever way you are.
Well, and we could talk more about that because we kind of joked around a little bit about all the different applications and scheduling systems that we've been recently experimenting with. But I thought it was kind of more important, especially for me, because it's been 6 months since I chatted with you. And just to help the listeners really understand more about Miriam, I mean, besides us being in mutual coaching communities and online, you know, growth groups and stuff like that for self-help, and obviously meeting at a really amazing event in California, I mean, what makes you tick, girl? I mean, why did you become like me? I'm a self-proclaimed anal retentive organized guy too, but I didn't actually go and like literally become a Golden Circle member. I mean, like, tell us more about like this journey.
Yeah. Well, I went into it the other way. I'm just really, really lazy, and I am organized so that I have time to do all the other things I like to do, like watch TV and read books. Because everyone's always like, well, if you're swamped for time, you should stop watching TV. I'm like, but that's my hobby. That's the thing I totally geek out on. So that's not happening for me. So I have to shave time other ways. And so that's been my whole life. So I've always been the person that lined things up and created patterns and some clear space and that kind of thing. But in terms of the productivity, it's all about so I can do more of the things I actually want to do. And I made that realization probably in high school. I made that connection because I was already working And I was in sports and in student council and going to school. And it was just, when am I going to see my friends? I have to be done with my homework before I can do that. So it became very time management focused for me to just be as productive as possible in the small amounts of time I had.
You know, it's kind of funny you brought up time management because I mean, I was in the corporate world before, big business stuff. And one of the biggest things they would teach us when I was like, you know, still growing in my career. And even once I got into management and I was actually an analyst for a company for a while. So that was like, it really channeled that energy mm-hmm. for that stuff. But they actually taught a lot about, I think companies that were successful taught a lot about helping their team and their employees grow with time management. So I think it's yes. funny because like you're not necessarily using that in your branding per se, but that's exactly what you're doing. I mean, you're teaching people how to become more than organized, which ergo, doesn't it directly impact your time management?
Definitely. And I see all aspects of organization as connected. So you have to have systems in place to deal with your stuff and the clutter and a way to rotate the actual physical objects of your life. And you have to have a sense of when to do what, and you have to arrange your space neatly so it's easy to maintain and to work in or live in. And so all of it's connected to me. And the more clutter you have, the less time you have because you're dealing with your clutter all the time. Even if you're only worrying about it, it's affecting your productivity. So it's all connected.
Now, I'm going to bring up a personal little connection. Literally, this happened last night. I would love to get your feedback because you're the guru. I was actually reviewing your site to prepare for today. And I by the way, I love your blog because for the listeners,
oh,
morethanorganized.net, guys, morethanorganized.net.
Yep.
Her blog is cool. Like if you go on there right now, there's like a couple different articles around, you know, how to streamline your holiday, ridiculous memory, laundry piles up. There's another one called Do You Pay for Storage Space? I mean, she's got stuff on here like 5 ways to declutter fast. Like this is what she does. So like Miriam, I thought it was funny because last night I was thinking of you because I think you channeled me to become obsessed because my girlfriend and I were outdoorsy nuts. Okay. So she, by the way, loves to watch TV in her free time like you. She's a hardworking, you know, horse doctor and she likes her free time. But we also do CrossFit and ski and mountain bike and road bike and everything else. And I go into the one closet in the front of the house and I just bought a big old box of those Command hooks, the removable, reusable strips. Love their stuff, by the way. I literally,
it's pretty good.
I need to buy stock in that company. So for the listeners, by the way, I'm sure she can outdo anything that I know from Command, but I open up the closet. It's a little bit of a walk-in style. It's an old house that we have. And she's got like 10 down jackets. I didn't realize she had so many, but she's got them like double, triple layered on top of the hooks. And it was driving me nuts. And I said, you know what? Nobody goes in this closet. I've got all this wall space. I measured, spaced them out 6.5 inches in each distance, eye height, and then put up all those sticky hooks. And now every jacket's got its own hook. And it just looks so much better. I mean, is that me being anal retentive? I don't know.
Yes. But it works. So, and it looks nice, probably.
It looks so much better. And because a lot of the stuff would like, if I bumped it the wrong way, it would fall off onto the floor. Or there'd be a couple extra jackets on the floor. Or like, I was driving me crazy. And I went on the other side of the closet. I was hanging up my stuff and I was looking for a better way to do it anyway. So I figured I would just overhaul the entire system. Because now all she has to do is open the door and just look for the color. Or if it's the beater one or the really, really nice newer one, like she doesn't have to worry about where they're at. I think they're ready to go. She could care less. She thought I was being crazy, but I don't know.
as long as she can reach them.
Oh, they're totally right there in front of her. Yeah.
Yeah. So. No, that's good. It just kind of made me laugh because my stepfather, for whatever reason, became jacket obsessed a few years ago. And he has one of those over the door coat racks.
Yep. She has one of those too. Yeah.
And it has 6 hooks. And each hook has 3 or 4 jackets on it. And last time I counted, there was 17 jackets on there.
No, that's exactly what I was dealing with. She had one. It was the little metal hook thingy over the door, whatever you call it.
I
had like 4 metal rods shooting up on a 45-degree angle across the top, and then shorter versions of that below it on a secondary row. And the way to use them perfectly is to use like that little nylon hook that some of the manufacturers give you on the inside of each and every jacket right around the collar.
Correct.
But she would never use those. So, and if she used those, then they would all hang perfectly, even if you did triple stack them or quadruple stack them, because you're using that nice little, I don't know what you call that, a hook.
It's a staggered situation.
Yeah. But no, she just uses like the entire collar, and that's why stuff would fall off, because they weren't perfectly hung on there. So.
Yeah. That is a little anal, Scott, but I see where you're going.
Well, I got to make, anyway, she's like, you waste so much time doing silly little things like this. I'm like, no.
However, it will save her lots of time in the long run.
Thank
you. So that's one of the keys. Setting things up so that you're pleased with them makes it more likely you will use the system.
Yeah.
And making it as easy as possible, like a single hook for each jacket, that's a luxury, but nice one to have.
Yeah. Or that's going to give her an excuse to buy more jackets. But the funny thing was, last year when I started, actually, I'd already started this kind of system in a light way just to test it out on her and see if it worked for us. But I put a secondary row of hooks down lower because she has like a down jacket for the dog and then like a rain jacket for the dog, because they do a lot of trail running together. And so I was like, why don't I just get the figure out the perfect height so those jackets can hang and dry and just not just lay in a pile on the floor. So I... That's what really started the process, and then kind of has grown to where it is today. So
nice.
It only took
me 20
minutes.
Most people use the lower hooks for kids, not dog things, but I like that
idea.
Well,
Calvin, our coonhound, is our kid, so that's the only kid we're ever going to have. We have zero interest in rugrats. We like being the cool aunts and uncles, and then we can give them back when they get messy and annoying.
Me too.
I think it's important that we embrace who we are and what we want. And I have no problem telling the truth about that. So,
yes, that's good.
I'm glad you're a fellow like-minded person, though. Thank you.
So,
but what really drove this even further into you building this brand? Because obviously I'm a marketing guy, and we love talking about not just the health and the lifestyle piece, the business piece, but like, Was it just kept building over the years, and then you just really liked the flow with this whole morethanorganized.net concept, or like, where did that kick off?
Yeah. So every job I ever had before I realized I was unemployable, I did the revamping of the systems and organizing the actual physical space, so that I could find things. It was all to help me do my work. I could care less if it helped anyone else, but I don't like to be frustrated. And so if I would reach for something and it wasn't there, it made me crazy. And so I'd fix that.
Okay.
So when I decided I was unemployable and wanted to move back to New Mexico and work for myself, I had to kind of go, what am I going to do? And I took a bunch of those inventory type tests to figure out what I was good at. And it all said organizing. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. I like doing it. I'll do that. But because I already was aware of those connections and how things work together, and that it is the freedom that is the important part, not the what container do I use to hold my utensils in, that then I came up with the More Than Organized from there, because it's not just about arranging the stuff. It is the systems to create the freedom for me.
I like that. That's important, because it's true. A lot of us maybe focus on the nitty gritty stuff. And it's, I think that's what you do. Like, you bring it to the bigger picture level here, where it's like, guys, there's so many ways that we can end up doing this. The most important thing is that you create a system that works well with your lifestyle or your personality or your pastimes. Like, I'm sure my crazy organization methodology here, because we have so much gear, is different than a family. Like, you just pointed it out. Like, we have a little secondary hook row for the dog, but that's going to be different for kids. And obviously with kids, you're probably gonna have a lot more bin systems or something. I don't know. Like, I use bins. I like to, I was joking around about this on a prior podcast, how I still roll my clothes since I had, when I was living in Arizona a couple years ago doing the firefighting, and it's a military thing, I guess. A lot of military dudes I knew do that you roll your t-shirts up, you roll your clothes up. So I still do that to this day. I don't fold my clothing anymore. I stopped doing that in 2009, 2010, when I moved west, and I just started rolling stuff, and I've been doing it ever since.
I'm all about, I'm a little bit more of the Marie Kondo method of let the clothes tell you what it wants to be. So some things
okay,
get rolled,
what does that mean? I have no idea what that means.
Okay, so Marie Kondo is a Japanese woman who's a professional organizer who wrote a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. It's been a New York Times bestseller. It totally blew up. And her thing is you keep things if they bring you joy or they spark joy. But her whole thing on storing clothes is some, you let the fabric kind of dictate how you fold an item of clothing.
Oh, that makes sense. Yes. Yeah. I will say, like, my girlfriend.
It's really hard to roll a bulky sweater.
Yeah. I would agree. Okay. You know what? That's a very good point. My merino sweaters, I fold them. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. And cardigans are hard to fold gap style. You know, you got to do them shoulder to shoulder instead of.
Oh, I just. I just did that last night. That's called gap style, shoulder to shoulder.
No, that's not gap style.
Oh.
That's easy style. But gap style is, you know how they fold the t-shirts up on the, or the sweaters on the display.
Oh, yeah, so where they go left side in, left side like, in, and then flip the sleeves down and then fold in half?
Exactly.
Oh, I know that method. So that's gap style.
It doesn't work so well for cardigans because you'd have to rebutton it every single time, and that's just...
Okay.
If you're just going to have to unbutton it again the next time you wear it.
But it's funny. So, anything with buttons and snaps, I pretty much just hang them now. I put them on hangers. So, and I don't have a ton of hangers.
Hanger knits, but, you know. You don't? I'm a minimalist on my wardrobe, so I'm down to about less than 50 pieces of clothing.
Ooh. Exciting thing. I watched that minimalist documentary movie.
Oh, you did?
Yes. So, are you doing, what is that thing called? The 30-30?
Yeah, the 33, it's Courtney Carver's 33 challenge. I tried it. I couldn't quite go to 33.
Okay.
But
oh, you're less than that.
No, I probably have a little bit more, but I don't do the seasonal switch.
Ah.
So she has 33 pieces for each season, and I've got about 50 things total, not counting kind of my... long underwear layer for cold months.
I can say I did this years ago before that even happened. I mean, when I did the fire thing, I was like, okay, my life's got to fit into my car because in case I end up falling in love with the fire thing, I want to make sure that I got everything I need. But because I was an adrenaline junkie sports guy, like I still needed my gear. So I said, okay, I'm going to buy 7 duffel bags, all North Face base camp gear. Duffel bags are expensive, but they're all reinforced, practically waterproof. Like they're just bomber bags for duffeling.
Right.
So I bought one of each and every size. That way they weren't all the same size either. So that way, depending on if one sport had more clothing and one had less, I can organize that way. And I said, okay, between those, well, actually that was basically 5 of those bags. And then I had 2 mountaineering backpacks. One I set aside for rock climbing gear. One I set aside for my camping gear. So outside of that, my life had to fit into those 7 bags. And that's what I was allowing to take in my car. But the cool thing was only one of those duffel bags was personal clothing. Everything else was gear related or like the cycling clothes were in that gear bag. Like it was such a freeing experience because I'm like, man, this is all I need. Now, granted, that was for that lifestyle. I can't.
Yeah. And that's a very important part of the puzzle. You have to have the gear and the clothing and the wardrobe for your lifestyle. I have one formal outfit. My father happens to be a state senator, and once every 4 years, I am occasionally invited to a fancy party, you know, like a formal cocktail event.
You need the right dress for that. Yeah.
And I have to be able to go to that. And so I have one that I've had for like 12 years, but I have to keep it because I don't want to buy a new one every time because these people only see me, you know, once every 4 years or whatever. So,
well, I'm that way with like, we both follow Michael O'Neill. You mentioned earlier how you love being unemployable. And, and this is just a slogan that Michael O'Neill uses with the Solopreneur Hour for our listeners who are like, they've been just dying to become an entrepreneur or work for themselves. So the point here though, is that I agree with him on the importance of male dress as well. Like being simple. I forget the one guy he knows who used to work for, Spider Clothing. I'm blanking on his name.
Oh yeah. Is it JJ?
Yeah. JJ Collier. Yeah.
Collier. Yeah.
So the point here is like, I haven't bought a new suit in years. I've owned one suit. And even when I left for fire, I left it here and I had my parents like store it in a closet. because I just don't need a lot of suits. I'm not in the business world anymore. But I picked it up this weekend. I ended up finally getting, after going to Thrive and seeing how people up their game for appearance professionally, I was like, you know what? It's time to update the suit. It's been over 10 years since you bought a suit. So I do have a new suit coming, but it's one suit. It's a classic navy blue, modern cut. It fits my athletic build perfectly. It's just a beautiful suit. And I don't need any more than that because you can literally mix and match any dress shirt with it. If you want to use ties, bow ties, if you want to go slacks, jeans, dress shoes, not. I mean, you can do whatever you want with a suit. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And I've always been a jeans and t-shirt kind of girl. And you saw me at Thrive. That was my updated wardrobe. Like, I got rid of all my stuff and then improved the pieces I did have. So I went from just jeans and t-shirts to slacks and kind of tops that feel like t-shirts, but they're not t-shirts. They're nicer material or fabrics or somewhat embellished or something so that they're very comfortable. But I'm also often crawling around in people's garages and under their kitchen sinks and stuff, and I go through clothes really quickly. And so I have fewer pieces, but I can update them more often as they wear out or get wrecked.
That's interesting. Okay. So you ladies do think about this stuff.
We do. And, you know, some days I have to, you know, I'll call a client and be like, are we working in the garage today? Because I'm going to wear a different outfit.
Well, and I will say, like, I've had beater clothes for a long time, and I love donating because it gives me a freeing experience. I love just doing the clothing donations. At least I probably do it like a major one every season. So like spring and winter, but like I know I'm like, okay, I have two pairs of beaded blue jeans, but I just bought a new pair of blue jeans because the other ones were wearing out. So I'll just take that one and turn that into a beater. And so they're really, really old beaters. I'll just go ahead and donate those. Like they're still in good shape. They're not like full of holes or anything, but I'm like, okay, well I don't need to hold on to three pairs of beater jeans. I'm not a jackhammer, you know, driving, you know, construction worker.
Doing that same rotation system with my clothes. I start out with a t-shirt that's nice enough to wear to a client or under a cardigan or something for a speaking engagement. And then I'll wear it to work in someone's house doing paper files or something. And then it'll start to get a little dingy or slightly ripped, and it moves into the workout / sleep pile. And then it gets donated. So I typically have the same number of t-shirts, just kind of two levels of where I use them.
Well, so besides us geeking out on the clothing thing, I think it's also important to understand why we geek out about this stuff. And I think the piece that I really connected with you on when we were out at Thrive, or just we were talking before we started this recording and wanted to get the show for our audience, is that there's a healthy piece to this. And this is beyond, I could totally get into a whole show just about that crazy TV show, The Hoarders and stuff, because that just freaks me out. But we don't need
to. I've actually been on two episodes.
You've been on that show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm slacking on my research. I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm not credited or anything. So when they do those shows, they come to a community and they have the members of the National Association of Professional Organizers get first crack at being the assistants.
And because you're in the Golden Circle, you're one of the first people that hears about that? Because I read about that in your profile. Well, so,
yeah, that and the fact that there's only 9 of us in the whole state of New Mexico, basically. So, pretty much all of us get to work on the show if we can.
That's fun.
It's always a great experience, but it's really intense and a lot of work for 3 days. With not much sleep and often lots of discomfort because it's usually cold or hot.
And it is the Southwest. At nighttime, it gets cold. During the day, especially in the summer, it's very hot.
Yeah. One of the shoots was like in July and one was in February, I think. So it was like the worst. but that's a whole other situation. And I don't typically work with hoarders, but I have experience.
Well, and here's the thing. I think some of the lessons that you can share and that you and I are already discussing, maybe you, for our listeners, maybe you don't necessarily need to, and granted, you can do this by the way. I mean, Miriam has private coaching. She's got like virtual workshops. She's got like, I love the fact that she uses the word streamlined. That's a word that I used to use a long time, but you know, streamlined courses that people can get. So the cool thing is like you're out there teaching and training people, but back to the healthy piece, like not all of us maybe need that level of integration or that level of commitment to a program, but I think there's still a lot of basic best practices here as why organization is so important to our health as well as the lifestyle. Maybe you could talk more about that.
Yeah. I just read some statistics that more people want to get organized than get fit this year, which is great because most people don't succeed at getting fit or losing a lot of weight because they don't deal with their kitchen. They don't deal with their wardrobe. And by that, I mean, what do you want the end result to be? If you want to be a healthy eater, you've got to throw away your chips. You have to not buy them at the store so that you have to double think it when you want one, you know? And most people just don't bother to set that stuff up. They just continue to have all their frozen entrees and their snack food all over the place and their candy stashes. And then they wonder why they're so tempted all the time.
Well, that goes back to also, I think I saw in some of my research when I was, you know, learning more about you, like you have something on your site called Sacred Money Archetypes. And
yeah,
I don't know a lot about that now, but I just know for a fact, like I know for a fact that people don't realize how much money they spend and waste on groceries. So if you aren't organized, like even us, we have a small little cabinet next to our refrigerator. And my girlfriend's got like snacks and we have like nuts in there and stuff like that. And I was like, I've gone in there and I found stuff when I first moved in that was expired. It's not her fault. It's just like stuff gets pushed to the back. And I'm like, so if you actually kept a regular eye on that stuff, like, okay, there's already a jar of peanuts. Do you need to go buy a jar of peanuts? No, there's already one there. Almonds or whatever. Like people have no clue sometimes what they have.
Yeah, they don't. And one of the first things I wrote about how to simplify was the kitchen, because I would go into people's houses and we would throw away hundreds of dollars worth of food because they didn't know what they had and it had expired or it was totally unhealthy or not the way they cook. And they would tell me they're too tired so they don't cook and they go to fast food. But I challenge anyone to tell me how much faster it is to go wrangle your kids or your partner and get in the car and figure out the order and go sit in line and then come back home to eat. And I can heat up a can of soup faster than that.
Yeah.
So don't tell me you don't have time to make a healthier meal.
Oh man. If you want like ultimate time hacks, you just blend a shake.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big shake person. I like
not everybody is,
but you know, I can put on a pan of rice and then an hour later go chop up some chicken or pork and make a stir fry in about 10 minutes.
I had this discussion with somebody the other day about, I mean, technically this is all at home cooking, but someone says there's no way you can make eggs as fast as having a bowl of cereal. And Vinny Tortorich, that I was talking to you about earlier, he's the guy who runs the Fitness Confidential podcast. And he's got a wife when she first started embracing his teachings on no sugars and no grains and cleaning up inflammation in the body, he said, listen, let's do this. Let's challenge this. He's like, you can't rush it. You can't speed up. Do your normal thing. Like go to the fridge, get the milk, go to the other cabinet, get the bowl and the spoon, you know, the drawer, then go to the other cabinet, get the cereal, assemble everything, then put it all away and eat your breakfast. And he already had eggs on the plate and he was already eating in the same amount of time, if not faster. And that's the point. Like people don't understand, like if you're very well organized, especially if things are clean and fresh and ready to go, like everybody wants stuff with preservatives too. And I'm like, no, like it's a bag of chips does not mean that you're being convenient and efficient with your health.
No. And I, you know, I am the first to admit I am a giant, fast food junkie. I love the taste of many different burgers. And, but, you know, if I have the stuff ready at home, I can do my own version. You know, I do a lot of turkey burgers and then occasionally I do an actual burger. But it's always arranged and organized in a way that I know I have the ingredients and it's only going to take me a couple minutes to set up and a couple minutes to break it down and clean up. And I know what to buy at the grocery store every single time I go to the grocery store, because I buy ingredients to the things I like to cook. And the more you cook those same things over and over, the more muscle memory you get, the more proficient and efficient you get at making those items. So you get a more consistent result, and so you're more likely to eat it, especially on those days where you're, I'm too tired to think what I want to eat, but I can do this real fast and it'll be fine. I can choke it down if I have to. You know, those kinds of nights, where, which is where most people fall off their diet, is because they're tired and lazy and don't want to deal.
And that's the point here, I think, is it's about making it simple, right? This is the point, is simplicity. It's like, people joke around, like, because I experiment with the NSNG, no sugars, no grain. They're like, well, what do you eat? I'm like, dude, I eat a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm a bit of a pig, because I'm super healthy and fit, so I'm allowed to be that pig too. But the cool thing is, like, people think when you cut stuff out that you lose the ability to eat. And I'm like, are you crazy? No. I was like, if anything, it awakens your ability to get more creative and more fun, because you learn about spices and herbs and you working with the right vegetables and the right fresh herbs too, not just the dry ones. I mean, so
yeah,
that's so a wake up call for so many people.
It is. And it's a chance to get either more creative with your cooking or less creative with your cooking. Cause I went the other way. I did a reverse cookbook. I thought up the 30 things that are my favorite things to eat. And I created a recipe for each one of those. So I have ingredient lists for those. And most of the time I eat the same kind of five meals a week. I make the same five things. And then once a week I make something in the crock pot that'll last a few days. That's one of my fancier recipes.
Oh yeah. There's a great hack.
Things over and over and over.
The crock pot's a great hack. You just throw it all in there.
Yeah. So I'll do, you know, a pork roast. I'll do some herb chicken, I'll do some pinto beans, I'll do some spaghetti sauce or whatever. And I live alone, so if I make a pot of it, I get sick of it before it's gone. So then I'll eat it like two or three times that week, and then I'll freeze it, and then I'll have it 3 weeks later. I'll have another couple rounds of spaghetti. But it's, you know, it makes it so you don't have to think about it as much. You can buy the stuff at the grocery store quickly and easily, and you know how to make the stuff you make. Or you can experiment a lot, or you can mix it up and do a combo like I do, where it's, you know, five meals tend to be very standard, easy, and then one meal I can experiment once a month. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. I think so many people feel like these are drastic things that they have to change in their lives, and it's only as drastic or as crazy as you allow it to be. And I mean, we're not saying you got to go out there and just gut your cabinets and throw everything out, although I love doing that. But it's like, okay, start making some changes and learning about, like, I think what you just helped people realize, the listeners, is like, you got to kind of relearn about yourself and like, man, you know what? These are all my favorite meals and it's not boring. Yeah. And you just said you created a reverse cookbook of 30 different meals. So
yeah,
that's a lot of different kinds of food.
There is, but I, you know, every day for breakfast, I have one of four variations, you know, and every night I have one of four or five variations, except for when I make the crock pot thing.
There you go. And a crock pot, man, that's endless variations.
It is.
I could chuck anything I want in that sucker. I love that thing. That's great. It's winter time now out here and or everywhere, I should say, but it's cold and it's wet. It's like, man, if I'm gone all day traveling or whatever, I just throw everything in the morning, turn that puppy on, and I get back in the evening and dinner's served. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it's a way to make it more convenient too. I think a lot of people our age and younger were not really taught how to be you know, we didn't all take home ec. I'm the first year that home ec was not requirement.
I took home ec. I learned to sew.
I did too, but it was the first year wasn't required. So I see a lot of people that don't know how to set up a house or a kitchen and then wonder why it's hard or wonder why they can't find the baking sheet and wonder why.
Oh my God. I know exactly what you're talking about. When I used to have roommates, they put the stuff on the wrong side of the kitchen. I'm like, why? Like
Or not even the wrong side of the kitchen. They tend to store things by shape.
Mm.
So, oh, I have this thing. It's a bigger version of a mug. I'll put it in this other cabinet where there's more room. It's like, no, you still need to work that larger mug in with mugs because that's how it's used.
Yes.
You don't add the bigger mug to a cabinet with more space.
Yes.
You put all your baking things together, not part of them over here and part of them over there just because that one pan didn't fit. You know, it's like, well, then move it all to the place where they fit.
Well, it's like any possible utensil that we would ever use on the stove is either in one of those, I don't know, storage barrel thingy, you know, stainless steel things on the corner of the counter, or
a crock. Those are called a crock, a utensil crock.
Okay, well, utensil bucket. Anyway, those are in one
some
corner.
Some people use a pitcher. Some people use a jar.
That's true. And then like a few other ones like that are larger or maybe bulky. Like even my grill tools are right there in the drawer to the left of the stove. So like anything involving grilling outside, right outside the back door behind the kitchen, or right there at that stove is there. I don't need to go to the other side of the kitchen to get anything I need for the stove. It's just, it's all right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
it saves steps too, especially some kitchens nowadays. I have a small kitchen, but some places have 15 steps between the fridge and the stove. I'm like, what? How can you do this?
Well, it's like when you watch those, we geek out on the HGTV stuff because we don't have cable, but we have like the Apple TV, so you can get all that stuff. And I like the house flipping shows and stuff because we have plans to get into some more real estate stuff just to develop another income stream, maybe do a couple of flips or whatever. But I love it when they go in and you see people like, oh, I just need a bigger kitchen. And I'm like, really? Do you really need a bigger kitchen, or do you just need to organize it better because you're walking all over creation? And then when they do the bigger kitchen, then they fill the middle of it with a giant island. So it's like, okay, technically you just cut off your route around the kitchen.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love an island. Islands are great when they're functional and they make sense. But hopefully you've learned along the way to properly organize the kitchen, or else you're still going to be running all over creation, but now you got a big island in the way.
Yeah, I lived for 10 years. I lived in a studio apartment in San Francisco that was 385 square feet. And my kitchen was, I believe, 10 by 10. And it was an old farm style kitchen. So it had one counter that was attached to the sink that was about 24 inches wide. And then I had 13 inches on either side of the refrigerator that was also counter space. And that was it. And I could cook gourmet meals in that kitchen.
Oh, yeah. I could just bet. I mean, you're like a maximizer of the optimization there, man. You're gonna hack your way through that space and figure out the most efficient way possible to organize that thing.
I did. But it was like every time someone says, I need more space, it's like, yeah, no, you don't.
Well, it's like
use it better.
It was funny. I remember I just brought this up on my computer because I remember right before New Year's, you had a great tweet. And real quick for our listeners, everything goes in the show notes on livethefuel.com. So if you don't remember to write this stuff down, but if you want to follow Miriam on Twitter, for example, her feed is at MOY, M as in Mary, OY, P as in Peter, M as in Mary, TO. So obviously you're using the initials from your long name.
Yes, my name and my business.
So it's like Moy PMTO.
MTO.
But the cool thing was back on December 30th, and I'm just going back here because I have to find it, but you had a great, simple, well, besides the fact that you shared a great post about Graham Hill from his TED Talk, and I've recently stumbled across him myself. But there's a couple of great tweets I love when you put out there. One was, if a cluttered desk is a sign of a cluttered mind, what is the significance of a clean desk? Love that, by the way.
It does make you think.
But the better quote I thought that day was, your environment is what you make it. Make it cool. Hashtag simplify. Hashtag declutter. And I think that's the piece right there is, we're not just geeking out here to our listeners here to try and help them. It's not just about, oh, I got to be more organized so I can cook healthier, or I have to be more organized so my business is much more efficient, because that's a whole other conversation. Or it's just a matter of getting a better lifestyle. Yeah, but it's like, it should be cool. Like, have fun with it.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do to help people have fun with this and make it cool?
I do a lot of things, but mostly I'm a big fan of repurposing things you have. And so instead of going and buying a new pencil cup, why not use the favorite mug that you never get around to using?
There you go.
What if you, you know, we just talked about, instead of buying a specific utensil crock, what if you use one of your pitchers that you only use once a year for lemonade? And in the meantime, you could be using it for your utensils. And the one day you make lemonade, you could just leave the utensils on the counter in a pile. You know, there's various things that you can do. I have in my bathroom drawer, instead of full dividers and organizers, I have a ceramic painter's palette to store my jewelry in. And I have these Asian sauce dishes. So they're little square sauce dishes.
Oh, yeah. That you use for soy sauce or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
They have some of my makeup in it. And so I like little surprises. And in some clients, you know, we'll use like antique things, inherited things, old boxes or cups or sauce.
You're not just repurposing. You're kind of what style would that just fall under, like eclectic art design? Because eclectic kind of encompasses all different styles, right?
Yeah. And I like it because there's so many things that people are hesitant to get rid of, but they're not using them in any way. And they like them a lot. And it's like, well, then put it somewhere where you see it and can appreciate it by using it, not hidden away where you can't.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people hide stuff.
Yeah. That's, I don't mind closed cabinets, but you better know what's in your cabinets. Because if you don't, then you're just hiding it.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Stop hiding your stuff, people.
Well, it's funny because if people have, everybody wants, again, back to that TV show, one of those HGTV TVs, people's like, oh, they love it when they have the built-in cabinets. I got to have lots of storage.
Or less stuff.
And I was like, thank you. I said, you know, like my girlfriend and I, we live in her great-grandmother's house that she bought. And it already had a rental unit upstairs. So we only have the first floor, which I love because it's basically an income suite that helps pay for the mortgage. So, I mean, they teach this stuff on the television channels and we got to move in with it the way already rocking. So we only have maybe 900 square feet, 1,000 square feet at the most. I think it's 900. And it's us two and a dog. And now she wants, she would like to have a little bit more space. I get it. But we don't have a ton of storage. So we don't need it per se. And if I find we have too much stuff, I will find a way to get rid of stuff and it drives her crazy. But it's, I'm like, do we really need it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. There's so many things that are single purpose out there in the world that it's just kind of ridiculous. Unless that one purpose is your thing. You know, I'm all for having the special flat-edged spatula if you frost a lot of cakes. But if you don't frost cakes, you don't need it.
Well said. Thank you. That's a good point about cooking and baking. Yeah.
Cupcakes with a knife. You don't need a special.
That chain store, was it Bed Bath & Beyond?
Yep.
Oh, my God. I mean, don't get me wrong. I could geek on that place, too. I love to cook. I love to be, you know, because part of being healthy and fit is, you know, I'm a clean eater. I'm a paleo eater. I mean, it's just, you know, I like to eat like wild diet style. I'm doing the whole NSNG thing. Lots of vegetables, meats. I love to grill. I'll grill in the middle of a winter storm. I don't care. But so I do like to grill, like to cook. But I have to admit, like over the years, I've now, especially the past few years since fire and that lifestyle, it's like, man, I just want the perfect tool. And I don't need anything else. I don't need five pairs of tongs. Because Bed Bath Beyond has a wooden pair, a bamboo pair, a plastic coated metal stainless steel pair. Oh, and then you can upgrade to the silicone one.
You do need the bamboo ones if you're going to pull toast out of your toaster.
We see, but I'm no sugars, no grains, so there's no bread here. Sorry.
Okay, you don't need the bamboo ones. But,
I get that because you don't want to electrocute yourself. But technically...
I use my metal tongs.
They make silicone tongs now. So it's like, okay, well now you can use silicone coated... stainless steel because they're fancier and more expensive. We own one pair of those. So
I'm a big fan of using the tool that makes you happy.
There you go.
And works. So sometimes it takes a few tries to get the right one.
And then donate the rest or give them to a younger brother, younger sister. Maybe you know somebody who's getting a college apartment, their kids, whatever.
Exactly.
Like hey, you know what? I've hacked to my kitchen found the most efficient system, found the best tools that I like. Here's all my old stuff. And instead of throwing it in a box and storing it in your garage for the garage sale that you'll never have, why don't we just donate it to one of the neighbor's kids that are going away to college, and that way it helps stock their apartment.
Exactly. Because that little stuff adds up price-wise when you're young and foolish.
Believe me, I was there. Before I left for fire in 2008, 2009, I had a townhouse. It was 2,000 square feet. I was renting. I bought a foosball table. I had a finished basement. I had two sets of furniture because it was a finished basement, so you had to have furniture.
Another couch.
I'm like, yeah, that, right? Yeah. Oh, my God. It was stupid. Yep. It's funny because I will admit to you live on this show here is that I've never looked at your Instagram before. And by the way, you're crushing it because you have over 5,784 followers on there. But I love...
Tony is crushing it for me.
Oh, that's right. Our boy Tony Wynn, the InstaGuy.co. A little shout out to Tony. He's also been on the show. But I love the graphics. I love what it looks because like the one of them on here, I love Socrates. I love philosophy. Mm-hmm. And like how many things are there which I do not want?
Yep.
And that is an amazing question because most people are like, well, you know, not just what do I, most people are going back and forth between what do they want and what do they need? The whole wants versus needs equation.
Oh, and most of them get that completely mixed up.
Yeah. Well, how do you explain it to them then?
A need is something you will die without.
Ooh,
a want
is
something you enjoy. Or thought you would enjoy, or thought would make you happier, sexier, cooler, richer, that didn't quite pan out.
I like that because philosophically, the way you just define needs, I mean, these are things we need to live with, you know, love, health.
Yeah, and to be clear, I'm not saying that it goes back to completely primal needs, but you need shelter. So make your shelter pretty with the things you love. You need food. So make good, healthy food choices and arrange it easily so it's easily cookable in your
And you enjoy
space.
It.
Right. You need air. So make sure your air is clean, not full of dust and dirt that's collecting on all your collectibles and junk around the house. Make it easy to clean your space so that it's germ-free and you know, dust-free. You need to have sex, so have your bed available.
Yeah, exactly. I got to admit on that. I mean, really, people, like, okay, why would you create a roadblock for enjoying that part of your lifestyle? Now, granted, exactly. I've not been married for 40 years, as some people use as an excuse, but I'm sorry, I would not be creating a roadblock by not having the bed or the couch or anything ready for those extracurricular activities.
You need sleep. So again, your bed needs to be available for sleeping. What else? Water. You need clean water. So be able to find an appropriate glass to drink your water out of. Mm. Other than that, you know, you don't really need much. Those are the needs. So of course, for some people have illnesses or special needs. Those become needs. They're not wants.
So that's a great clarifier. I like that.
I can't get rid of this. I really need it. It's like, it's a marker. You don't need a marker. I've lived many years without markers. You know, there's that whole thing. I need my shampoo. Well, no, not really. You don't have
to
wash your hair.
I found out from the woman who cuts my hair that she's like, Scott, try not to wash it every single day. I guess it's a thing that you ladies are actually experts on, but as men, we just never knew this. Like, I thought I was a clean freak. I didn't know.
Yeah. It took me a long time because all the magazines and ads say you should do it once a day, if not twice a day. And then the rinse and repeat portion of it. But about 10 years ago, I stopped washing my face twice a day and I stopped washing my hair every day.
Because there's natural oils that need to occur and a part of that healthy, whatever, our external health, I guess.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, we overdo it with product. And so that's another way to stay better organized is just don't have all that stuff and then you don't have to store it.
Mm, I like that.
Isn't that weird?
I'm gonna have to cut that snippet out just in case, because I mean, I've only been in the relationship for 3 years, but I'm like, hey, you know, as this grows, I'm like, I want to make sure that I can remind my significant other of that when it comes to makeup. But the cool thing is, she's
hey,
really.
I didn't mention makeup. I just said face cleanser.
Well, to be fair, she's awesome. She doesn't go crazy with that stuff, so I don't have to worry about that. That cracks me up though. But yeah, I got just one last point though. Again, guys, I mentioned it earlier on the whole Twitter thing. Her screen name is the same thing here, MOYPMTO on Instagram. Dude, this is a great feed. Like, Tony's crushing it. I'm a quotes guy. I love the quotes. I love just the messaging that you're getting on here. Like, another favorite here is if you don't make mistakes, you're not working on hard enough problems. And that's a big mistake by F. Wixick. And that is a great one, because I use that in business. I use that in fitness when people like mess up a piece of their workout. We can use that in health. Like, hey man, you might not make that perfect recipe when you're trying to hack the cookbook like you did and tried to simplify things down to like 30 meals. Like, there's trial and error here, people. Like, it's okay. You're going to have some good days and bad days.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, and is this stuff that you teach then in your courses and your and like the coaching time? Because you have a couple different ways that people can work with you. So I'm just trying to part of culminating this these lessons that we're learning from you, since you're the guru. Like, how do you recommend people actually work with you besides what you see on the website? But what do you see has been the best success if somebody's looking to start cracking the code a little bit, or maybe they don't know how much help they need? What is your best course of action?
Well, I start every single person out with a free Get Organized Now strategy session.
Oh.
So that I can hear how they think about their stuff and what's overwhelming them and what they're struggling with. And then I can match which of my programs is going to be the best solution. But to be honest, most people get the most fast acting, long lasting results by, one-on-one work with me, whether it's coaching or virtual organizing, because so much of staying organized is about changing habits, and that requires practice and accountability. And so that's all built into my programs.
So obviously you become basically their virtual accountability partner.
Yes.
Okay. Which I can tell you, I do business coaching too, but I mean, every coach that I've worked with, whether you're talking about health, fitness, nutrition, weight loss, it doesn't matter. It eventually you reach a point where you can only do so much yourself. So don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help and have somebody hold you accountable for these really important areas of your life that maybe even slacking on, or you just needed somebody to kind of crack you upside the head, like virtually, to say, hey man, it's okay. But we're going to pull your head out of your butt and help you figure this out.
Exactly. Because, you know, organization is actually the foundation for anything else you do in life or work. And people often put it off because they think they'll get to it later, or they're going to deal with it when they have more time, or they aren't good at it. So they're going to learn more about it before they do it. And they have this idealized version of getting organized, when really it should be one of the first three steps you take in any new endeavor is to sit down and think about, what do I need to pull this off? Where will I keep it? How will I replace it? You know, whatever that rotation system is. You have to think about that stuff, because if you get into something and you have totally forgotten that you needed a Sharpie and you don't have markers, you're going to be in trouble. But if you know that ahead of time, you're going to, you know, build it into the plan.
No, I love that. I mean, I took this past week off for the end of the year just because I've been just go, go, go ever since we launched the show also in September. It's just taking a lot of time. And I said, you know what? I had some freedom to have some creativity type of things, like work on some books that I've been reading, also starting to work on my own book. But then piece of it was also like, you know what? I want to reassess where I'm at, like check out the office. You know, I added the studio piece, you know, 3 months ago, and it was organized then. Is it still the way? Is it maximized, right? So just going back in and reassessing it. And then I got so pumped up that I went out to the garage and started tweaking stuff out there, because I created the freedom to allow myself to do these things. And it was on my goals list for those days off. And the office is completely flipped around now. I mean, some of the stuff, I found some stuff to get rid of. But I found a better layout for my dry erase board, what I'm doing on my strategizing on it, just for in case I end up having coaching sessions virtually like you do, I can just, it's like right here. It's just little things that just, don't be afraid to keep retweaking along the way.
I think that staying organized is a constant, ongoing editing process. And I think especially for entrepreneurs that work from home, the unemployable amongst us, it's hard to know sometimes what you're actually going to need to serve our clients. And so sometimes that stuff piles up, or you try something and it doesn't quite work, but it's not a complete dud. Like, there's pieces of that program that you tried that could be used again and that kind of thing. And so you have to plan for those review times as well, to just update and upkeep of all your ideas and how it's working together to serve your clients. Because I know that's been the biggest struggle for me. Is I used to be, my home was totally organized all the time, and it kind of maintained itself. But when I started my business, my office needs a lot more constant attention because ideas come through it at a fast rate.
Well, yeah, and for you to be able to maintain that level of creativity, you need that space.
Exactly. So it's important to just know that it's not a one time and done. Getting the mindset can be a one time and done once you have the habit of how to be organized, but the actual organizing and planning and using and putting away and maintaining, that is constant and ongoing.
Cool. Well, this has been awesome, because I did not think we'd actually be able to geek out this long about organization.
Oh, we've just scraped the surface.
I know. There's so many, I know there's more layers in there. I mean, just from our casual conversations over the past year, just through virtually through Facebook and stuff like that. Like, I was like, oh yeah, there's a lot more than meets the eye there behind Miriam. But so for our audience, as in other episodes, obviously we talked about this before, like, it's all about you having that final message. And because there's so many other layers to kind of basically peel off on this onion, and it can't all be done on today's show. Besides, which we already talked about, people coming and checking you out on morethanorganized.net, not .com, guys, .net. What is a messaging that you're working on? I mean, you've spent all these years building this brand. Like, what are you trying to do? What is a message you're trying to put out there, that final word for our listeners?
I would say that being organized, it just doesn't have to be so hard. It can be a lot easier than you think.
I like that. Simple and easy. You are the simplicity expert.
It's true.
Wow. All right, guys. So this is 2017. This is, again, another literally kickoff episode of the new year. I think this will be like literally the third or the fourth one just for 17. But this is what it's all about, guys. Don't make life complex. Work with gurus like Miriam here at Morgan or morethanorganized.net. Do the research, reach out to people, get help. It's okay. But this is what it's all about, man. We're here fueling your health, your business, your lifestyle. As you guys learned today about myself and Miriam, we're pretty fired up about this stuff. So this is just a piece of how we live the fired up epic life. So again, guys, thanks for listening in. This was an awesome show. Thank you again, Miriam. You guys keep living the fired up epic life, people. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.